me. It's Mark chapter number 12. Mark chapter number 12. Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Heavenly Father, God, as we open up your word today, and Lord, as we study your word, Lord, that you open our eyes, Lord, that we would see you high and lifted up. But all, most of all, Lord, that we would lift you up so that the whole world could see. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Jesus, is, as we see in verse number 23, is preparing and saying that time is come. The time is come. As we talked earlier about changing the clock so we could pray at midnight according to our clock and then go home and get to bed by a decent hour. What time is it? In the world today, what time is it? I'm not talking about what the big hand is on, the little hand, and where the second hand is ticking away, but what time is it? I believe that Jesus, when he was saying in verse 23 that the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified, as the Bible says, he's speaking of his death, that it was nigh at hand. But I also believe that the hour is come that the Son of Man be glorified. That there's not a difference in the time frame, and that even as he was glorified on that day, he was hung on a cross, and he died a very horrible death, yes. But he should be glorified. The title of tonight's message is Powerlifting. I don't do titles very often, but it seems like every time I send my brother the messages, he asks what the title is, and so I've been seeing them more than normal. But powerlifting. So I was studying this passage as preparing for Revelation chapter number 20, and some of the stuff that is taught out of this passage that is unique in my estimation. But I was looking at this and going back, and as I was going through, and I came across some other things in the Bible, and one of the verses I came across was 1 Timothy 4:8, for bodily exercise profiteth little. Powerlifting. Been trying to go to the gym. Kind of like so many folks today are trying to go to church. I went there the other day. Walked in, checked in, turned around, walked back out. Those weights are all heavy. I didn't take me long to look at them. I pick them up, put them back down, it's done. I didn't even pick up weights that day. When I got there, I didn't realize my phone went off, notifying me that I had an appointment in half an hour. Haven't been back to the gym since. My excuse is because I did as much powerlifting as I could over this last couple days. Forks get heavy if you get enough food on them. But powerlifting, bodily exercise, profit little, but Paul goes on in talking to Timothy and says, but godliness is profitable in all things. Having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. There's nothing against bodily exercise, and their studies have been done. Studies have been run on multiple subjects over the course of many years. And they've come to the same conclusion, every one of those studies. If you exercise every day of your life, you die healthier than the other guy. You still die, though. The exercise, the bodily exercise, doesn't profit a whole lot. But the profit is in the godliness in our life and in our following after God. But also, as I was looking at it and thinking about it in Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8, Jesus, as he was preparing to leave his disciples to go, as he said, to prepare a place, he says, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And in Philippians 4:13, my verse that I used when I was in college is my keynote. And I used it when I was playing football. I used it when I was wrestling. But it didn't really matter in those two areas. Because I enjoyed playing football. It didn't matter that who I was running up against. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed wrestling. It didn't matter which opponent I was going up against. I enjoyed that. Where I needed Philippians 4:13 was when I sat down in English class. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. For those of you that have heard my story of high school, my freshman year of high school started out with 4 years of junior high English so that I could graduate high school. Still questioning the reasoning behind all of that. As I mentioned before, I remember sitting at the dining room table doing homework, which was my lot in life for my whole high school career. In one subject and one subject only. English. Math, social studies, science, all of those were done before the end of the day. In fact, I did my required daily in my English before the end of the day. And then went home and did another day's work. And on Saturday, did another day's work. Sunday was a day off, but Everybody else got summer breaks, and I was in there doing English so that I could graduate. I was not impressed. I remember sitting there and doing my, supposed to have been doing my homework, and Mom came in and got after me for goofing off. Looking back on it, I don't know if I was, I don't know if I wasn't, I probably was not doing what I was supposed to be doing. I looked up at her and told her, "This stuff, I'll never use it. Wasting my time in learning how to conjugate verbs," and still don't know what that means. What would really frustrate me is I before E, except after C, and certain spellings of different words, and all the ones that I needed for spelling tests were opposite of whatever the law was. And then I got to college, and they said, "What do you want to do? When you get out of college, what's your intentions?" And I said, "My intentions are just that." They go, "What? To get out of college?" I said, "Well, you'll need to take these basics and the counselor signed me up for two different English classes my first semester." I was so pleased to find that out. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me." Yeah. Boy, I had to have that verse every day as I got up and went to English class and sat before teachers and studied the same stuff I was so sick and tired of for 4 years of high school. But then Zechariah 4:6 says, "Then he answered and spake unto me, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." So much of the time as we consider powerlifting, we go into the gym and we find a weight that we can lift safely for X amount of times, and we do that, and if we're faithful, we slowly add weight to it. And as we're, especially the guys, standing around talking, and, "Oh, I can bench press this, or I can squat this, or I can curl this much weight." And the challenge isn't what we can do in the gym, but what are we doing in life? Powerlifting. There's three things in life that we should be powerlifting, that we should be lifting up. Number one, we should be lifting up holy hands. 1 Timothy 2:8 says, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubt." Morning message was about that we watch what we're doing, that we pay attention to God's sacrifice on the cross, that we don't misuse that sacrifice to further our own selfish desires. And so much of the time as we go before God in prayer, that when we put our hands out, even as Ezra fell flat on his face and put his hands out to God and cried out to God, they better be holy. They better be clean. They better not be symbolically washed. But oh, that the Holy Spirit comes down and scrubs those off. Remember growing up and you'd be outside playing and Mom would call you in for dinner and she'd go, "Let me see your hands after you go into the bathroom," and, "Oh, no, let me see the back of your hands." And so much of the time we go, well, the outside of our lives is clean. We look good, we smell good, and I'm a Christian, and if you were to ask, I'll tell you that. But the backside of that, our character, is it clean? And we in the world today and in amongst our friends and family, we go around
about it just like guys at the gym